Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. This morning, we learn about the Children's Museum of Science and Technology in the Rensselaer Technology Park. We do so from Executive Director Catherine Gilbert. Good morning, Catherine. How
are
you?
Good morning.
Very nice to have you. And Director of Education and Discovery, Sarah Smith. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
A great pleasure. So let us talk about what do you say CMOST, or can we, is that how we should?
Absolutely. Okay. CMOST is perfect.
All right. And that, just for you, so you know, Children's Museum of Science and Technology. All right. So tell us the origin story of CMOST.
Absolutely. So we are 65 years old this year. We got started in Rensselaer County by the Junior League of Troy and continue to stand on the shoulders of those visionary women who wanted to have a museum where children could please touch. Unlike other museum experiences in the day, recognizing that children learn best by being able to manipulate and discover. And we carry on that tradition today at the Children's Museum of Science and Technology, inviting kids to follow their own interest and discover which path it is that they choose to find.
How long have you been in the current location?
Let's see. We moved over in about 2005, I believe. So we've
been there for
years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
It still seems new in my mind, but it does. I see it's
the fun part about this story is that when you serve children, we have generations of families that will say, I remember the museum, and share their I remember when, and sometimes it's where.
So roughly how many kids come and visit you every year?
About 70,000 kids are engaged with the museum each year. Some of those children don't actually come into the museum. We have a pretty robust traveling program that brings the museum's learning experience out into the community. So we travel out into 11 counties, plus a few more in the outlying areas. So we're all across the Capital District connecting with kids.
So, Sarah, give us a sense of some of the services of how people typically initially become involved with the museum.
Sure. We have a range of programs. We actually just changed our hours of operation. So we're open Tuesday through Sunday from 9 to 4. So recognizing that children get up so early in the morning, and by 9 o'clock you're ready to do something fun. So fun activities such as steaming into nature. Kids get to do some fun art projects. We really embrace all aspects of the science, technology, engineering, art, and math, and try to have fun hands-on activities for kids at the museum. But also, as Catherine said, we go out to schools as far away as Fonda Fultonville. We're going to South Glens Falls, and we're bringing programs on measuring. We're bringing programs on nano, on coding, and serving that audience of pre-K to about fifth grade.
I know that one of your missions is to remove barriers and provide access to educational opportunities for every kid. Talk about what some of the barriers are.
So when you imagine a museum, you think museums are for certain people. They're not for me. And so what we really have been working on is making sure that we remove the financial barrier. And so we have a program called Museums for All. So if you come to the museum and say, I have an EBT card, we say, super. It is $1 per person. We try to make sure that we meet people where they are and make them feel welcome regardless of economic ability. And also, we are redoing one of our rooms that's a sensory room. And so it recognizes that children learn in different ways, but also that not all children are neurotypical. And so embracing the concept of children with ADHD or children with autism are welcome to come to the museum. It's a soft space. It's a little bit quieter because science is pretty wild and can't get crazy on the museum floor. So recognizing that fact.
What does soft space mean?
So sort of like this studio here, we're looking at changing the acoustics. So providing, a softer floor. We're redoing the wall color so it's reflecting and calm, and putting softer beanbag cushions and putting in manipulatives so they can explore things on their own with their family. It's sort of an evolution. We see that the best ideas we have come from the people who come through the front door, and this is something that is coming from, this is a request, it's a need that people have. And so we're trying to meet them where they are.
So when it comes to science and providing science education to kids and to every child, let's talk about the importance of a STEM education and how you all fit into that.
So without a doubt, we spend a lot of time these days talking about, engaging children at an early age. Many studies are showing us that kids getting involved with the STEM subjects at an early age can make all the difference. And that really is proving to be along the lines of having that access to hands-on experience doing science, actually being able to get hands-on and engaged with the science subjects will, as they progress through their education, increase their efficacy, their belief in themselves as a learner, their belief that they can do this and that science is for them. And so, regardless of will we result in every single child that comes through our doors becoming the next, big thing? Maybe, maybe not. But we want to recognize that each of these children have a great opportunity for being our next innovators. And we want them to understand that they have it within them to be able to explore and find out what's going on in the world.
Are you enhancing probably the answer to this is both, I realize, but are you enhancing the education that they're already getting in science and say STEAM education, but also that you're also filling a void?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. So we kind of refer to what we do as informal science education. We're not in the classroom. And that being said, we work hand in glove with the teachers that are in the classroom. They are great partners to the work that we do. And we are looking to make sure that the resource that we are providing helps to augment and expand the experience that they can provide in their classroom by giving kids the opportunity to work with authentic objects, real tools, with live animals, speak with real scientists. That's another important piece of what we're doing is giving kids access to folks who are doing science and giving them the opportunity to do so themselves so that they're not necessarily doing experiments that have a predetermined answer, but we're giving them a chance to try. Maybe it'll go a little differently than they expect, but that's great. Let's figure out what happens next.
To drive all this, it's curiosity, though. Kids like to find this stuff out, right? They like to touch and play and understand and figure out why this does that when you do this.
They love to explore. They love to sort. They're natural scientists. I mean, scientists like to classify. Kids love to stack. They love to sort. They love to classify. And just sort of exploring that and expanding on it and helping parents and teachers offer new ideas and solutions to help the great work that is out there. And to eventually, our goal is just to strengthen our community through strengthening the children and those that care for them.
How do you work on your curriculum? Where does your curriculum come from?
Sometimes we work off of the state standards.
Okay.
And so we're looking, we also work with, we have a STEAM advisory board, and so we have people who are in the field and they're helping to guide that. What is the next thing? What is, our kids learning to use laser measuring tools? Is that important? We're looking to the teachers and to the schools themselves because they have, if we're not responding to their needs, then we're not meeting our goals and expectations to develop that curriculum that is helpful and relevant.
So you will talk about a subject like climate change.
So that's a great point. So what we are doing, CMOST is helping to organize a group of nature science centers, local science centers, and nature centers here in the Capital District. It's a project that we've been working on for about a year. And so we're trying to educate ourselves and arm ourselves and all work together because this is a big issue. It's a big problem. It's a huge passion for us at CMOST, and trying to get parents and teachers and children ultimately engaged in talking about climate change in a way that's not scary. Listen, they're going to inherit this problem. Let's get them ready. Let's get them engaged on a level that they can understand and scale it over time.
Okay. Danger zone alert. I don't want to be so without this being a political question, but it ends up becoming a political question, doesn't it? Because there are large factions of our society, our culture, our politics that says, OK, this isn't a thing. And this is not only I'm not even talking just about climate change. I'm talking about science.
Right.
So we have seen a shift in that recently. So how do you accommodate that with kids and still, let me just be blunt, and still get funded?
Well, you know, at some point you have to be honest to yourself and
right.
and pursue your own integrity. And in truth be told, we need to be true to the mission that we serve.
Right.
And that is to get kids engaged and excited about science and technology. We personally believe that it is real and it really is happening. And, you know, getting kids ready and informed for being able to inherit the world it's in our mission. And so, you know, we are responsible for preparing those children for their future and giving them the information that they need, and also paying attention to what it is that they're passionate about. And certainly our kids are interested in the environment and the ecosystem. And so, you know, we have to be true to ourselves.
Has it been an issue at all or no?
I haven't seen it so much that it is.
Okay.
You know, we are pretty involved in the sort of the global science center community, if you will.
Right.
And certainly, you know, you see where you bump into issues. But again, I think it just circles back to that idea of integrity and, you know, being true to your own beliefs and your own mission and the truth. And pursuing that.
And understanding, yeah, and letting the kids understand
understand that. Right?
And having them come to their own conclusions,
that's
right?
The biggest thing is that we are not at all looking for telling kids the answer. The
right.
whole point of the education
Although
that we
provide. Although if they've got one, bring it on.
Oh, my gosh. If they do, raise your hand now. Raise it loud and start jumping up and down.
Let's do it.
They are so much smarter than...
Oh, God, yes.
They are creative and they're enthusiastic and they are so passionate. They're the ones who are leading this discussion. You know, they're like, why is the weather so different? Why are we having tornadoes? Why are we having so many hurricanes? What is going on in the world today? We watch the news and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we have to respond to that.
Your age, I should have asked this at the very beginning, but basically your age range?
We start out right around 18 months. Certainly kids come in a little younger
yep.
than that, but 18 months is great to start with the sensory experience. The visitors usually go up to maybe fifth grade.
Okay.
Our programming, however, stretches up into the middle school years. So at some point, unfortunately, some kids decide maybe science or no, maybe a children's mom. I'm not a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a grown-up now.
But that's when we segue them into fun opportunities. We have a number of high school volunteers and college-age interns, and that, you know, that helps
right.
continue that discussion with them.
And that's easier when you take the show on the road and into the schools, I would assume, where it doesn't have to be as...
Absolutely.
Yeah, kid-focused.
Yeah.
Well, a lot going on. You can find out more about the Children's Museum of Science and Technology. You're located in the Rensselaer Technology Park, which is right off Route 4, right?
Correct.
And it's not hard to find at all. You can go to the website, which is cmost.org, C-M-O-S-T, cmost.org. We also have a link on our website, which is posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Catherine Gilbert is the executive director. Sarah Smith is the director of education and discovery. What a delight to have you both on. Thank you so much, and thank you for the beautiful work you're doing.
Thank you for helping us.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, you can find out more information about CMOST by going to their webpage. It's www.cmost.org. They are also on Facebook and Twitter, and you can catch them on our website. There's a link there, wamc.org/roundtable. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities. See more promise. See more progress.